We are now nearing the end of this sermon series, which has taken us through the book of Hebrews. I scheduled this 7-week series to conclude next Sunday, which is Christ the King Sunday. Christ the King Sunday is the final Sunday of the church's liturgical calendar. And then the week after that, well, marks the beginning of Advent, which is the first Sunday of our church year. And the cycle continues through the year. We call the final Sunday Christ the King to acknowledge that through the ups and downs of the year, in the end, Jesus Christ is our King, and He reigns supreme. The book of Hebrews is a celebration of the exalted role that Jesus has in God's plan for salvation. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the great high priest. He is King. The book of Hebrews is a sermon written to a struggling congregation in Rome. It was written in the late first century, 40 to 50 years after Jesus' crucifixion. And it seems that the commitment of the people of this congregation has been slipping for some time. Some of them have left the church. Others are considering doing so. This book, this sermon, is an appeal to that congregation to rethink their understanding of who Jesus is and what God promises in Him. Because Jesus is more than they realize. Jesus is more than a prophet. He's more than a holy man. He's more than some rabbi. He is the Son of God. Throughout this sermon, the writer of Hebrews has shown how Jesus is indeed God's Son. And he calls Him, among other things, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And not believing in Jesus, he tells us, not believing in Jesus poses certain dangers. And he warns his people with these words, "Take care. Take care that none of you may have an evil, unbelieving heart." That is a danger. And then you will recall how the writer also explores in depth the power of Jesus' priesthood and how he names Him as a great high priest. And we covered that for several weeks. In today's reading, we arrive at chapter 11. And the topic here is faith. Well, faith, or the lack of it, has been a thread running throughout this entire book. The writer begins today by offering us his two-part definition of faith. One, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And two, the conviction of things not seen. All of us have our hopes for the future. We hope that we will be happy and loved. We hope that our children will turn out okay. We hope that our savings will last just one day longer than we do. Our real hopes, however, should center on God. Our real hope should be that God is always with us and that we are with God. That we are walking the path that God has set for us. That God has a hope, a place for us, and that God loves us. Hebrews is telling us that faith is the guarantee of the reality of God's place in our lives. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And the second half of that definition is that faith is the conviction of things not seen. And this dovetails with the first half of the definition of faith. We hope in those things that we cannot prove. True faith is a belief and a conviction in what we cannot see. My belief in God is based on my faith, not on some proof of God's existence. I have faith that God is the creator of all things, even though I may not see God with my eyes. Faith is the conviction of things not seen. Then, the writer of Hebrews reminds his people of all the heroes of faith who have gone before, who have blazed a trail of belief through the wilderness of doubt. These heroes of the faith, we call them saints, these are the ones who have gone before us, who did remarkable things because of their faith in God. Without faith, their actions seem rather foolish. But with faith, their actions take on an amazing power. Hebrews tells us about Abel, the son of Adam and Eve, and Enoch and Noah, all whom displayed a level of faith far above and beyond the norm. Think about the story of Noah building that giant boat when there was no water nearby. His neighbors thought he was crazy. Noah had faith, even in the face of criticism and adversity. And then Hebrews brings us Abraham and Sarah. And the writer takes some time to remind us of the great leaps of faith taken by this couple as they responded to God's call. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place not knowing where he was going. By faith, Abraham remained in that land, but Abraham didn't settle in and build houses. He continued to live in tents, which were temporary homes, because he knew that even though this was the land God had directed him to, it was not his final destination. Abraham was looking toward a different reality. He was looking for a city built by God, a city with foundations set by the Lord. And then, on top of that, there's that rather delicate matter of offspring. We read, by faith, Abraham and Sarah received the power of procreation. We know the story of how this couple are called by God and they're promised a wealth of descendants. And of course, when Sarah heard this, she broke out in laughter because neither she nor Abraham were young anymore. They certainly weren't spring chickens. They weren't even fall or winter chickens. They were more like fried chickens. And yet God is promising them children. Who wouldn't laugh at that? But they had faith. And Hebrews writes, therefore, from one person, well, actually it was two people. Hebrews writes, and this one as good as dead, which is a pretty harsh way to describe the couple, but from them descendants were born. Descendants as numerous as the stars of heaven and the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Sarah gave birth to Isaac, who was the father of Jacob, who was renamed Israel, and was the father of 12 sons himself, and they had children, and so on and so on. These are people who had faith. Faith in God, faith in something hoped for and unseen. The people in this congregation that Hebrews addresses, these people, they're mostly Jews. They are the descendants of Sarah and Abraham. And they are converts to Christianity. Their church is known as the Hebrew Church because of this. And this is why the letter is called the Letter to the Hebrews. These people, they would have been familiar with those stories of Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and more. They would have viewed them as paragons of faith. But Hebrews makes the argument that while these Old Testament heroes led exemplary lives, they also died without receiving the great promise of faith. Hebrews tells us that they could see what they hoped for, but it always remained just beyond their grasp. The city of God that they were seeking, it was unobtainable because Jesus was not there to close the distance and to escort them in. As we read in Hebrews, all of these died in faith without having received the promises. But from a distance, they saw. The writer is telling his people that through Christ, they now have something that their ancestors lacked. They have the ability to reach that promised land. Don't give up on the church, he says. Don't abandon your faith. Seek the better country. Seek that city which God has promised for you. That is the promise of salvation. That is what you hope for. That is what you cannot see, but it is there. As Christians today, we also find that our faith often can be weak. We demand proof. We demand results. We are easily drawn towards other realities that promise us so much. Things that we can see and touch. Things that make us feel good. The temptation is always there to do what the members of the Hebrews church did, and that's just walk away and look for something better. But as the book asks, walk away to what? What is it out there that is better? Because salvation, if you're looking for salvation, that only comes from the Lord. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is work, but faith is also belief. Faith is trusting that God is there. We hope in God, although we may not see God. Faith is living like Sarah and Abraham and Noah and countless others who follow God's call, not knowing where it's going to take them. Faith, living in faith, is like walking down a long road. When we walk, where do we look? Do we just look down at our feet as we shuffle along, never looking past the next step? Or do we lift our eyes to what is ahead of us? Do we squint at shapes that are out on the horizon? Do we go so far as to climb a hill so that we may see even further? And as we walk and as we look, do we believe that God is walking with us? As we read in the Psalms, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This is faith, walking with God, but trusting that God is there with us always. And looking for what it is that God has planned for us. Not shutting out the world, but climbing up as far as we can to see as far as we can. We have the assurance that God is there, and that is our faith. Amen.